Amen. You may be seated, and if you would, take your Bible and turn to the Gospel of John chapter 14. John chapter 14. And while you're turning in your Bible, let me mention that if you are online or here in person, we hope that you did fill out either electronically or a paper copy in person of the Connect card. And if you came prepared to give, that you'll remember that you can give by texting or by email, or that you can leave your offering in the offering boxes. And if you're a guest, we'd want you to leave your Connect card in one of the offering boxes at one of the exits you should leave this morning. Did you come today ready to receive the Word of God? Yes. All right, let me ask you a second question. Did you come today ready to respond to the Word of God? That wasn't as strong. Did you come today ready to respond to the Word of God? Amen. Well, I believe that you did. In a moment, I'll read John chapter 14, beginning in verse 1. Several years ago, Chuck Swindoll wrote a book entitled Quest for Character. And in that book, he told the story of a mom who was a little tired. She had 8 children. And on a Saturday afternoon, decided to go next door to a neighbor's for a little while for a visit. And time went by, and she realized that it was time to go home and maybe start getting things ready for dinner that night. And so she slipped out, went over to the house, and as she was getting ready to go into the house, she thought, you know, it's a little strange. It's unusually quiet. Now, when things are quiet and you have kids, especially 8 kids at home, that means what? Trouble. That's exactly right. So she looked through the door of the porch and she noticed that 5 of her children were sitting in a circle on the floor. So she quietly snuck into the house to kind of see what was going on. And to her amazement, in the middle of those children in that circle were 5 baby skunks. And she was so shocked that she just immediately responded, "Children, run!" And every one of them picked up a baby skunk and ran to a different part of the house. That really stinks, doesn't it? Sometimes life feels that way, doesn't it? You find yourself in the middle of something that just stinks. And you take off and you go to another room in the house, or you go to another direction, you think you can go somewhere else, and it seems like everywhere you turn, there's trouble. I pick up the news and I read it and I see headlines. All you have to see are words like Afghanistan, Haiti, COVID. We often used to say, thank God that the Bible says it came to pass. It sure seems like things have come to stay lately. I don't know where you find yourself this morning, but the fact of the matter is, many people are facing trouble and troubled times. When trouble comes, what does God say to us? When we turn to John chapter 14, Jesus is still in the upper room. He has just told his disciples that he is going to die. Judas has departed to betray his master and maker. And Jesus has already said that Peter was going to deny him 3 times before a cock crows. I'm sure that there is an overwhelming sense of uncertainty, and the disciples are probably very troubled in their hearts. And Jesus responds to them by giving them his loving comfort and then empowering them to live with a confident faith after his death, burial, and resurrection. Listen to John chapter 14. Why don't you stand with me for the reading of God's word? And I'm going to read this, and then you'll be seated again, and we'll examine this text and apply this text to our lives. Jesus, looking at those 11 remaining men, utters these words that we often hear at funeral services. Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. I will come again. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way where I am going. Do you hear that? You know the way where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going. How do we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father but through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. And Jesus said to him, have I been so long with you, and yet you have not come to know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I don't speak on my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Otherwise, believe because of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do because I go to the Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, so that the Father will be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. May God bless the reading of his word. You may be seated. The very first words of John 14:1 are important. Don't let your heart be troubled. The word for troubled means to be agitated or to stir up with confusion. I don't know about you, but I seem to feel like every time I get an idea of what's going on, I get another idea about what's going on. I get one opinion here, three opinions there, and it leads to this overwhelming sense of confusion at times. And Jesus said to his disciples, do not let your heart be troubled. Now, it's interesting because this is an imperative command, but it is a passive imperative. And what that means is this. A passive verb means that the subject is actually acted upon by the verb. The source of troubling, in other words, when Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled, Jesus is saying, don't let the outside circumstances, don't let the things that are around you, don't let the occurrences and situations in life from the outside get on the inside and create an agitation, an irritation, and an unrest that is unreasonable. Have you ever done that? I have. Anybody done that recently? I have. And Jesus said, do not let your heart be troubled. Sometimes our hearts are filled with fear and we're reminded that we have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again. Romans 8 says, but you've received a spirit of adoptions by which we cry out, Abba, Father. Sometimes our hearts are filled with doubt, and Romans 8:16 reminds us that God assures us, the Spirit himself testifying with our spirit that we are the children of God. Sometimes our hearts are filled with questions, and God strengthens us even when we don't always get the answers that we're looking for. Sometimes our hearts are filled with temptation, but 1 Corinthians 10:13 reminds us that God delivers us and tells us that there is no temptation that has overtaken you except for that which is common to man, and God is faithful and just and will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But he says in 1 Corinthians 10:13, but he will give you a way out. Amen and amen to that. And Jesus said to those disciples, let not your heart be troubled. Here's the key thought this morning. Jesus will comfort you and empower you to live with confident faith. Right now, I don't know where you find yourself this morning, but I want to say two things from this text that I believe God wants every single one of us to not only know, but to live every single day in these troubling times. Everywhere we turn, there is a troubling here and a troubling there. And God says, I want you to not let what's on the outside get on the inside and trouble you and agitate you and confuse you. I want you to live by faith, walk by faith, and trust in me. So the first thing Jesus says to his disciples is this, be comforted. Be comforted. As a matter of fact, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. Now, how are we comforted? When Jesus commands us, don't be troubled in your heart, he then goes on and he gives us four reasons that you and I have to be comforted, and they're rooted in our belief. Now it's not merely belief itself, it is the trust that we have when we believe. John Phillips said this, trust goes much deeper than belief. Belief can be cold and intellectual. Trust is warm and personal. So what do we do? First of all, if you're going to be comforted, you believe that trusts in a person. You have a belief that trusts in a person. Oftentimes, people are more concerned about the outcome than they are the outlook. And the problem that we have is that we're wanting the outcome to give us the comfort that we need. And the fact of the matter is, God ultimately is the comfort of our souls. Jesus says in this passage, believe in God, believe also in me. You and I can be comforted because we have a belief in the person of Jesus Christ. And our trust is not merely in a set of facts. Our trust is in a person who is a living God, who came from heaven to earth, who died on the cross for our sin, rose over death, hell, and the grave victorious. Our trust is not in a book of facts. Our trust is in a person who gave us a book of truth. Amen? You can be comforted this morning because you have belief that trusts in a person. But listen to this. You also have belief in a place. Notice what the scripture says. Jesus says in verse 2, in my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, and I go to prepare a place for you. I think that we have become so comfortable in our world that we've forgotten that there's more to come. I think that we have become so blessed and benefited that we don't talk much about heaven anymore because we think heaven is here and now. I want to tell you something. The comfort that we need comes not just from the belief and trust in the person of Jesus Christ, but we find comfort when we believe what Jesus said in this passage, and that is, there is a place called heaven, and Jesus has gone to prepare a place for us. I don't know what all heaven's going to be like. Through the years as a pastor, I've had people say all kinds of things. Oh, I'm going to be a shade tree mechanic up in heaven under a tree. I don't know. I want to be 6'5 when I get to heaven. I don't know if that'll happen either. But I know this. There is nothing in this life that can compare with the indescribable joy and blessing of being in the place where the person of Jesus is. Belief in a place. But there's also belief in a promise. He said, if I go and prepare a place for you, verse 3, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Jesus has promised us that he is going to come again and receive us unto himself. We are promised in the scripture to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Is that good news for you this morning? 1996, when George Tulloch was on an expedition to investigate the Titanic that sank in 1912, as they were doing their examinations, he became very excited because there was a part of the hull that had broken off. It was 21 tons, and they decided they were going to bring it up to the surface and rescue it from the bottom of the ocean. I think it was 2.5 miles down deep. They actually secured this piece of the vessel. They brought it all of the way up to the surface. They brought it out of the ocean, and a storm had arisen. And as a result of that, with winds and everything else, the nylon connecting lines began to break one by one. And they watched in horror as that unbelievable piece of history fell back into the ocean and sank 2.5 miles deep on the ocean floor. Everyone was devastated, but George Tulloch had one of the submarines discharged to go back down and to attach onto that broken piece of the vessel these words, I will be back, George Tulloch. 2 years later, he did. He went back and they brought out that piece of the Titanic. Jesus wrote not with pen and not with paper, not with a pencil, not with a marker. He wrote it in his blood, and he said, I will be back. Somebody ought to shout over that. The comfort that you and I have this morning. This world is rocking, and this world is reeling, and this world is troubled, and everywhere we turn, people are uncertain, and there's angst, and there's anger, and the people of God, we just keep standing on the rock that is solid, the foundation that is sure, and we are comforted with the comfort that comes from an everlasting God who is a person of peace, the God of all comfort, who has promised us that one day he is coming again to take us back to the place called called heaven where he is, and we as the people of God can live in troubled times with peace that passes all understanding. But there's another thing he says. There's belief in a path. Thomas said, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How do we know the way? And Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. See, more than likely, listening to me or sitting in this room, there's someone that doesn't have the peace of God that passes all understanding. You say, well, I know that Jesus is God, and I know that he died on a cross and rose from the dead. And I believe that there's a place called heaven, and I know that Jesus says he's coming back again, but how do you get there? There's only one way. It's through Christ. The only way that you're going to have peace with God is through Jesus Christ. The only way you're going to have the peace of God is to have peace with God through Jesus Christ. When Jesus wrote to his disciples, they were troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. And he says, here, I'm going to give you some truth that will comfort you in troubling times. When trouble comes, you remember his promise. You remember about the place. And you remember that he is the person through whom you must go to have everlasting life. I want to ask you this morning, do you know beyond any shadow of a doubt that if you were to die today, that you would go to heaven and spend eternity with Jesus Christ? If you don't, you need to follow the path. It's very simple. You turn from your sin. You turn to Jesus Christ. You trust in him as your Savior and Lord. And the Bible says, whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Be comforted. Be comforted. But he didn't leave his disciples there. He also said, be confident. Be confident, because immediately he moves into this section where he talks about his oneness with the Father. Hebrews 10:35 says, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. Now, the Bible doesn't say we ought to be cocky. The Bible doesn't say we ought to be arrogant. But the Bible does say we ought to live with an appropriate confidence. Now, the confidence is not, I'm right. The confidence is not, I've got it figured out. The confidence is because we have confidence in the person and the promises of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so while Jesus is saying to his disciples, look, I am going to comfort you with my comfort, I'm also going to empower you with a confidence that you can live victoriously by faith even when trouble comes. He said three things to them. You're confident because you can know the Father. That's what he says in these verses. If you had known me, you would have known my Father. From now on, you know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father. Jesus in verse 9, have I been so long with you and yet you have not come to know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe I am in the Father and the Father is in me? In other words, Jesus is saying over and over again, I and the Father are one. If you want to know God the Father, you go through God the Son. And the confidence that we have is this, that there is a Creator God in heaven and you can know him. Personally, intimately, and daily. But not only does our confidence come from the fact that you can know the Father, but he also tells his disciples, you will see God at work. In verse 12, notice he says, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do because I go to the Father. Listen, I want to tell you something. Jesus was not saying, hey, you're something special, guys, and you go out there and you've got all the gifts and abilities, and I'm going to stand back and be in awe of everything that you do. That is not what Jesus was saying. Jesus was saying, you're going to see me do through you things that you know you could never do by yourself on your own. And what Jesus was filling them up with was the confidence, not only of his promise, but his presence to be with them, in them, and through them. It's what Paul said to the Thessalonians when he said, it is Christ through the man. It's what Paul said to the Philippians when he said, I can do all things through Christ who infuses me with his strength. Listen, you and I live in confidence, not arrogance, not cockiness, but confidence that it is Christ in us. Us, who is the hope of all glory? During these days, the Lord Jesus Christ wants us to live comforted, but he also wants us to live confident because we know the Father and we will see him work in ways that we ever, never dared that he would work. I'm telling you, I'm praying for a revival. I'm asking God to pour his Spirit out on us. I don't want to get back to the way things used to be. I don't want cultural Christianity. I don't want people just to show up who don't really love Jesus. I want people to come under the convicting power of the Holy Spirit of the living God, and I want to see God turn this nation and this world upside down where everybody steps back and they go, man, that is God. That's what we want to see. We want to see God work. But our confidence comes because you can know the Father and you will see God at work. But this is powerful. Listen to this. You have confidence to live by faith because you can ask Jesus anything. Now notice what he says in these verses, verse 13. Whatever you ask in my name, that will I do so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. Now, some people have misunderstood this. They think Jesus' name is like some magic hocus-pocus thing. Well, I'm going to pray. I'm going to throw Jesus' name in there and hope that God will do what I want him to do. That's not what he's saying. What he's saying is, when you align your prayers with my name, which means when you align yourself with my character, my purposes, my plans, when you align your prayers saying, God, I want your will to be done, not my will to be done, and you pray seeking the will of the Father, Jesus moves and acts in power. The Bible reminds us over and over again that we can ask Jesus anything. Aren't you glad to know that we live by faith in the Son of God, who is our intercessor that sits at the right hand of the Father, always living to intercede for us, and there is not anything we cannot bring to him and bring it to him seeking his face. Aren't you glad for the gift of prayer? Be comforted and be confident that you can take anything to the Lord in prayer. Several years ago, in 1989, a horrible earthquake in Armenia devastated that nation. 30,000 people died. One particular story that came out of that was about a dad whose son was in an elementary school when the earthquake occurred. The last words that that boy remembered his dad saying to him, and the father remembered telling his son, is, no matter whatever happens, I will always be there for you. The dad raced to the little elementary school, and when he got there, the whole building had been collapsed. other parents began to arrive, and people were sobbing, and they were weeping, and they were crying, and they were so forlorn. And this dad, he just couldn't take it. He immediately began to tear away rubble, and he kind of identified the locale of where he thought his son's classroom might be. And rock by rock, 4 hours, 8 hours, 16 hours, 32 hours, until ultimately it was 38 hours, he pulled back a boulder. And he heard the voice of his son, Armon. And he called out, "Armon, Armon." The little boy said, "I'm here, Father." And the little boy said, "Father, I told my friends," and evidently there was a hole that had been created where several children were kept safe under that rubble. And he said, "Daddy, I told the other children that you told me that no matter what happened, you would always be there for me." And he was. I can't promise you that you're not going to face trouble. I have my own difficulty at times facing troubles and trials. But I remember the old song through it all. I thank God for the mountains and I thank Him for the valleys. I thank Him for the storms He's brought me through. For if I'd never had a problem, I wouldn't know that God could solve them. I'd never know what faith in God could do. Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to take Him at His word. I want you to stand. If you're online right now, if you're in a troubled time and you just need some comfort, I want you to connect with the online pastor. I want you to get on the chat. I want you to email them. If you're in this room and you say, "Pastor Darrell, this really has been a troubling time. I've been troubled. My heart's been heavy. I've been worried. I've been overcome." Or maybe you know someone that's just troubled and they need some comfort. Jesus lovingly will give you His comfort, and He will empower you to live with a confident faith. In a moment, I'm going to pray, and then we're going to sing what we call an invitation song. Wherever you are in this room, you can come to this altar, you can pray, you can come down here, and a pastor will pray with you. Maybe you've been walking through one of the deepest, darkest seasons of your life, and you just need to know that somebody loves you. If you need Jesus Christ, would you come and let us share Him with you? Maybe you need to join the church. I'm going to pray. We're going to sing. Father, I pray that Your Spirit will have freedom to move, and Lord, that we will be comforted with the comfort that comes from You. Bless this time and use it for Your glory. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.